If any man serve me, let him follow me. That's what Jesus said. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This program comes to you every Sunday at this time over this station. Today we want to consider the subject entitled The Meaning of Christian Then and Now. Heavenly Father, we pray for your divine illumination on this declaration of thy word. In the name of Jesus, amen. So today I shall attempt to define the word Christian. As you know, there are things indefinable and things definable. For example, you cannot define God. You cannot define anything that has no end to it. Since we cannot find or gather up the ends of God, he remains indefinable. If a million books were written about him by the most brilliant scholars, we still could not define our God. The Bible says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And all the depths of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. As God is without measure, so is his love. Aren't you glad for that?" In Ephesians, Paul comforts the saints in times of tribulation, when doubts can easily settle in, by saying, quote, "that ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge," unquote. God is beyond knowledge. His love is beyond knowledge. Many Israelites thought they knew what divine love was, but when Jesus died on the cross for them, they learned it was much bigger than they ever thought. Then, when they just got settled into the new concept of Calvary love, they learned about Pentecostal love, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And this ever-exploding experience of God's love goes on and on in the heart of every saint eternally. Well, so much for things indefinable. Now there are things definable. Were it not so, we would all perish in confusion. We must have some tracks in our lives that are firmly laid down. We need some labels that adequately and faithfully describe a product. So, what does the word Christian mean to you? Here are some answers you might find in the world. Multiplied millions believe a Christian is one who's baptized. Some believe it is infant baptism that makes one a Christian. Others insist it must be adult baptism or an adult immersion accompanied by a profession of faith. Others believe it is the golden rule. A preacher friend of mine sat next to an astrologer in an airplane. The astrologer spoke for millions of people when he said, "I suppose all of Christianity can be boiled down to this, the golden rule, which is, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." My preacher friend wisely responded, "If that were so, then astrology could be reduced to twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are." There are millions who believe that church membership makes you a Christian. It has to be their church membership, of course. Other millions believe that a Christian is one who believes in Christ, and that's it. But since the devil also believes in Christ, and he's known him much longer than any of us, that would make the devil a Christian too, wouldn't it? Except that the Bible says the devil trembles at the thought of Jesus. Still others believe that a Christian is one who is morally upright, who keeps the Ten Commandments. Enough of this. if all these beliefs were correct, these multiplied millions in the world would be Christians, but our Lord said few would find his way. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. From Matthew chapter 7. It is obvious, my friend, that the word Christian has become such a muddled, vague, and ambiguous word that it needs redefining. So then, who is a Christian? The primordial meaning, Christian, was to identify a persecuted group. It says in Acts, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. This persecution began right after Stephen was murdered and before James, the first apostle, was beheaded. The first Christians scattered to Antioch, a large prosperous city in Syria. It was a quickly, perhaps mere months after Pentecost, that unbelievers tagged the disciples as Christians, as followers of Plato were earlier called Platonists. So the name Christian came from the pagans observing that these believers were ardent followers of Jesus to the extent that they were willing to follow him even to the death. And the Christians became the most fanatical and radical sectarian group of that time. This then raises the question, why were the early Christians willing to follow Jesus to persecution and death? The answer is that Jesus demanded it. From the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, his key call was expressed in two words, follow me. It must be understood that this call to follow him never meant anything less than for his followers to give up their schedules, their plans, their ideas and arrangements to be with him and to do his will 24 hours a day. This following was never intended to be a part-time job. It was intended that every moment was to be entirely surrendered to God. For Jesus said, if any man come after me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The church was born on the day of Pentecost, but Christianity began the day after John the Baptist declared Jesus to be the Son of God. John writes that on the next day after this declaration, Andrew and John began to follow Jesus. Then Andrew told Peter, and Peter began to follow Jesus. Then the next day Jesus found Philip and said to him, follow me. It continued, man after man, town after town, Jesus calling men to follow him. As you cannot have Christianity without Christ, neither can you have Christianity without followers. You cannot have a kingdom unless you have both a king and followers of that king, willing to go to the death. So Jesus would not allow anything to stand between him and his disciples. They had to be all for him, or they were not for him at all. Just one thing you're not willing to give up will disqualify you from being a follower of Jesus. This was the early perception of what it meant to be a Christian. It was understood by all to be that way. Jesus, in fact, even told Peter that he too would die as his Lord did die, or would die. When Peter and John were persecuted right after Pentecost and some disciples were killed, they understood that this was part of the package of being a follower of Jesus, a Christian. Forsaking all to follow Jesus, even to death, became the hallmark, the identifying mark of what Christians were all about. Once this uncompromising stand was clearly understood by Rome, Rome made it clear that it would not tolerate such competition to Caesar, the emperor. Hence, Rome initiated 10 major persecutions in the first 3 centuries. Thousands of Christians shed their blood for Jesus during this time, and tens of thousands were driven out of their homes. Oh, my friend, Jesus is not interested in numbers for numbers' sake. He's looking for followers. And so, when the unbelievers in Antioch saw how the believers behaved, they knew that Christians were followers of Jesus even unto martyrdom, that they were fanatics when it comes to following Jesus. So Jesus was not interested in his believers joining his club. He had no club. He had no church membership from which people could go to heaven. The only way people can go to heaven is for them to say the words, follow Jesus, and to realize that it is all about him and not about them. It was all about his agenda and not theirs. Any church that teaches that people can be Christians by membership, by rituals, by any religious experience without following Jesus is deceiving her people and damning them to a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. So the original definition of a Christian is a follower of Jesus unto death. People at Antioch understood that. Now, do you understand it as well? Heavenly Father, we need help with this message. It is a sobering message. It cuts right into the superficiality of our religious practices and attitudes. Deliver us from all of these false perceptions, what it means to be a Christian. It is a matter of life and death that we grasp it, that we must be followers of you every day of our lives, as was the case with the first Christians who were called by that name at Antioch. We pray for your mercies upon us. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Goodbye now, until then.